Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Meridian Teacher 223 podcast by teachers for teachers to talk about what's going on in the district. I am Ryan Reed, and I am joined by, of course, my co-host, Kathy Murphy. And we are going to actually talk about, to our wonderful superintendent, PJ Capozzi, here about the semester wrap-up for the school year and everything else. So I will turn around to Kathy here to give us a recap. Last time PJ was here.
We talked a little bit about continuous growth and talking about, I just lost my note, the culture that we have in our buildings and, you know, asking questions about if we're about planting good seeds and the stories that we're telling ourselves and, you know, how we're actually talking to ourselves and how we're responding to others. All right. So and now we're talking about a little bit about integrity and equity. And where we're going from here. So we're finishing up the school year, I think, on a positive note. It seems like the kids are in good spirits, at least the ones I have. The seniors I've talked to seem to be very positive. So yep. I think overall, it, you know, as rough as the school year was, I think it was rough for everybody. I think, you know, we're actually ending on a note that seems fairly positive. All right. So I don't know if you've heard anything different, PJ. and I know there are teachers that are overwhelmed, overworked. They're struggling. I recognize all of that. But it seems like at least the air in the buildings, at least in our building, seems to be very positive. So
I would say that this week was a bit of a turning point. So I would say up until this week, there were multiple times throughout the course of the year that I thought we were going to. You know, like when you're running and the first mile is really hard and then second mile is hard, then all of a sudden it kind of, you kind of get into rhythm and you feel, I kept waiting for that kind of to happen this year. And I thought maybe in January when we brought everyone back, people would feel that way. And it didn't happen. And then I thought maybe when anyone that wanted to get vaccinated could get vaccinated, then maybe that would happen. And I thought, well, maybe after spring break, it'll happen.
Keep doing those markers.
Right. And it just hasn't. And I think that's okay. I think one of the things that has been really clear to me this year, and it's something that I think I cognitively knew, but there's some dissonance, is that stress isn't linear. So if something traumatic happens to Ryan today, it doesn't mean that he's going to be stressed tomorrow. It might mean that he's really stressed in 8 days or 10 days or 12 days. And
yes.
And this year's been traumatic. And so I think it's just hit people at different times. And I think it's just been... you know, we talked before and we've had guest speakers come in and talk about like the invisible backpack that kids wear and that we don't know what they're wearing. And I think that every teacher has worn an invisible backpack filled with bricks for the majority of the year. And they're tired and they're wore down. And so I think people are starting to see the finish line. And I think the analogy used that the air is starting to kind of clear. But it's been a tough year, and anyone that is still exhausted and feels overworked and feel that they feel that way because that's been their experience. Like that's been real for them. And so it's just been a really interesting year because I haven't been able to at any point predict where we're going to be from an overall climate standpoint, right? Like how it felt in the district. So what, when we got together as a leadership team about 2 weeks ago, I just basically told everyone like, just love your people and get them over the finish line. Like we just got to like, you know, there's that viral video from, I think the Olympics in the 90s or the early 2000s where the guy pulls his hamstring and his dad comes down out of the stands and helps him across the finish line.
Oh, yes. I can't think of his name, but I know that video.
Yep. Yeah, so, and that's kind of what that's what we needed to do these last 3 weeks was just kind of help people get over the finish line. And so I'm really anxious about what August is going to feel like because I haven't been able to predict the last 12 months in terms of how we're going to feel. So hopefully August is okay. But it should be interesting to see.
Well, I think too, it's going to depend on how much teacher rest, you know, how the vacations, just the being able to get away and just relax a little bit and kind of regroup. You know, that's a big thing for teachers. I think for students too, they need some regrouping. I mean, this school year has been a totally different type of school year than they've ever experienced. And I think they've had their hard times too. You know, I think we have to keep that in mind as we look at those kids. And, so, I mean, I feel for them because of the struggles they face. And I feel for my comrades because of the struggles we all face. And it's just been hard, right? So,
yes.
I don't know where we're heading. I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of like in limbo. I don't know what next year is going to hold, what it's going to look like. I'm a little nervous about it, but I think having a break and being the chance to step away and kind of look over time might be a very healing type thing for it to happen.
Yeah, at some point, and this is going to sound like leadership speak, so I know some people are going to roll their eyes when they hear this, but I mean this sincerely. Like at some point, people are going to look back on this year fondly. Like it might now. I don't think that's next year, right? Like, but like maybe like 2028, we're going to think about like, oh man, we overcame a lot, we grew a lot, we were resilient, yes, we did these things. It was so hard, but we did it. Like that will occur. It's not yet, right? Like so, like we're not taking that victory lap yet. And so it's interesting for me because even though we're a small district, I'm far enough away from the classroom that I can very clearly see how far we've come. And I think it's hard sometimes when you're in the fight to see how far you've come. So I have immense pride and gratitude for where we're at now compared to where we were at last year at this time and the work that everyone has put in. I don't think that people realize exactly how far they've come. They know how hard they've worked. They don't know how far they've come. And so at some point, hopefully, they appreciate that.
Yeah, and I felt a little about that myself here because, I mean, I was looking at just the other day, like, how far have I come here with the curriculum? Because, you know, this is the end of my fourth year, so I'm going to year five here for Stillman. But it's a lot I've overcoming when I came in here, as you said, you know, stress over here. I had quite a bit coming in here. I had just, you know, I had done from budget cuts. I was coming in just before the school year had started. I had, like, not a lot of time for curriculum prep. And then it was kind of the, you know, work your way through, stay up till midnight to just get some lesson plans for Thursday all set up. And then just, you know, the other day I was posting the last couple of assignment projects ready to go on Google Classroom. I said, you know what, if you would have talked to me about 2 years ago about doing this, I would still felt like I was not ready to prepare, that I was still just figuring out 2 days before we had to finish up the last class. And instead, I was able to say, you know what, this is good because I've been able to prep. I've been able to bring things back that I wanted to bring because of the semester. It really, as I say, cut out what wasn't working in the curriculum and really looking forward to what's coming up next for me.
For sure. And I think that when people, you know, our commitment to Google Classroom has been solid as a district, hasn't been as comprehensive as I would like, but that's a different podcast. but for those of those teachers that kind of have stuck through it the entire time, when they roll that class in the next year and they realize that they created an incredibly detailed curriculum map for themselves for every day of next year, they're going to be really, really happy they stuck with it as a de facto benefit of utilizing the tools at hand. So it'll just be really, again, the caution for me is everyone wants to go back to normal. And I want to go back to kind of normal too. I just don't want us to slingshot backwards as opposed to using this as a launching pad forward. And that's where leadership is going to have to come into play. And when I say leadership, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about us collectively with teacher leaders and division leaders and people without a title, helping making sure that we're taking what was the best of this year, making sure it persists forward. In leaving some of the worst of what was 2018 and 19 behind, as opposed to just going back to it.
Well, I think too, a lot of us teachers, we have grown a lot. And I guess I'm like you, I don't want to see us lose the benefits and the wisdom that we've picked up over the course of this year. And I think we have. And I think you're right. And when you say that it's hard to see that right now, you know, because people are tired and they're worn down, frustrated. I mean, there's a lot of words that you can use, but I also think there's
Can I interrupt you for a second? I have a surprise plan for the podcast. I'm going to hijack it for a second. Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead. Right. I don't have a little victory bell here.
Who is this? It's Liz Finnegan. Hi, Liz Finnegan. You are officially on the podcast right now.
And this is not a call-in show.
We made it though. We decided it was a call-in show, Liz. Liz is a representative that works with the district. She's from Horace Mann and does a lot of really cool stuff for us. And she wanted to call in today with an announcement.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Reed. Sort of nice to meet you. This is my first podcast
appearance. Oh, yeah, you're joining us via phone. You know, we've really come a long way in the last year.
Yeah, very impressive. So, like PJ said, I work for a company called Horace Mann. I'm the local representative. representative. Normally I go into schools and work with teachers and do things like insurance and retirement and stuff like that. But in honor of Teacher Appreciation Week, we were doing some funding of donor shoes projects. And I had noticed that you had a couple of them. So I wanted to see if you would be up for having one of them funded in full.
Well, yes. Yes, I would.
that's kind of what I figured. But you have three of them.
Yeah.
One of them is a little out of my budget. But the other two, there's Operation Save Our Green Screen and then Fill Up the Pixel Classroom Part 4. So they're about the same price. What is your preference?
I would have to say the green screen because it can reach other teachers here who have been borrowing it. We had our makeshift one, and then our one we did use did rip this past year, so it kind of had a problem. I had to use my father-in-law's old pull-up screen, which actually worked pretty well. You know, for a 40-year-old screen, it works pretty good. I would to say the green screen would definitely be my preferred because it's not just for my classroom; it would be for the other teachers around here too.
Well, that's fantastic. So we are thrilled to fund that for you. I will put in that request and it should get funded either later this afternoon.
Oh, well, thank you. Wow. That's not what I was expecting today. No. Thank you so much. Wow.
Do you think I was going to ask some hard-hitting questions?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe.
I don't even know what your podcast is about.
Well, this is the teacher one for the district and everything. I have my own too, but that's an educational one too.
I'll have to call into that sometime.
Hey, I'll set you up with a normal Zoom. I'm getting a new toy this weekend.
I'm thrilled to fund this for you. I'm happy to contribute to the kids and to all these deserving teachers over at Sylvan Valley High School.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow, that just means a lot to all of us. Thank you so much. You made my day.
You're so welcome. You guys enjoy.
Thank you very much. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's
sorry to
good.
Hijack you. Hear what you're saying, but
that's pretty good. That's exciting.
That's wow, and you heard it here on the podcast first. Yeah. This will be like go live today, like, and they'll be like, "We're hitting the green screens." I'm like, "Yes."
That's pretty good. Pretty good. So, PJ, let's move to the next point. Where are your hopes going from a way for us to recover and move to the next level?
Yeah, so I think we've got like two competing things happening at the same time that can happen hopefully in parallel or maybe even with synergy. But number one is that we are trying not to add a ton of new because we know what everyone just went through this year.
Yes.
While at the same time with the referendum passing and the collective exhale that we have in terms of having budget stability, quite literally for the first time since I've been here, because even when the previous referendum was successful, we knew we had 7 years. So it still didn't feel stable, right? Like it's not how you would want to raise your family or whatever else. So now we have stability. So now we have the opportunity to dream again and to envision things. So at the same time, where we don't want to overwhelm or add, we also are in probably the prime position to dream big and to think about what can be next. And so obviously that'll be a collaborative process. I have some avenues that I am very, very interested in trying to pursue that I think teachers will be. I'm a deep in my soul believe in the concept of instructional coaching. You, Kathy, I know you can definitively relate to this. I have a deep love for teacher evaluation. I am one of the few that have a deep love for teacher evaluation. That said, I believe it doesn't work in concept of teacher evaluation does two things at the same time. And by law, it does two things at the same time. One is it forces districts to rank and sort teachers by how they evaluate them. And two, it's our most systematic approach to growing teachers. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm stressed out and thinking about my job and also getting a label which tells me how good I am at my job, it's really hard for me to be thinking about growth. Mm-hmm. And yes. So when we conflate those two things, which quite literally by law we have to conflate, it becomes really hard. So that's why I believe in instructional coaching, because what if I could give you all of that, in many cases, more expertise on how to become a better teacher with none of the accountability? Now you can start thinking about growth. And so for me, the more that we can expand our instructional coaching process, I think the more that we can improve our instruction and our assessment and refine our curriculum in a way that teachers feel supported, as opposed to one more thing added onto their plate, as opposed to a gotcha, as opposed to whatever. So, so in the immediacy, I'm going to look to try to expand our instructional coaching program. But I think we're five years away probably from getting it K-12, like mm-hmm. the way that I would like to see it built. But there's a lot of other things that I have vision for in terms of how we do professional development around here. I think we needs to be completely revamped in a way that is more for again, I'm going to use a educational buzzword, but that's more differentiated and allows for more teacher voice in terms of what they're going to expose themselves for. And I also think that we need to, as much as possible, flip the model. And I think we're starting to see it with what we're trying to do this summer, where instead of us paying people from the outside to come in and provide professional development, that we use the expertise within the buildings mm-hmm. to provide professional development. And then instead of paying the people to come in, we pay our people to attend. And so not that way we're growing our people and also valuing and honoring their time as they're going through it. So I think we can invert that process. So I think that if we have a concentrated effort to continue to build the instructional coaching model, which will build internal expertise and refine how we do professional development so that it's A, more targeted, B, more differentiated, and C, less money going out, but more money staying in. I think those are hard to complain with things. I'm sure people will find ways, but it's in concept, that's where I'd like to see us conceptually go in the next handful of years. I mean, our strategic goals have been pretty stagnant, right? And those are things that I think are hard to argue with. We want third graders to read on level, right? Mm-hmm. Like, can't really argue with that. We want fifth graders to be on grade level in math, because we know if we don't have them by fifth grade, it's really, really hard and really, really expensive to catch them up. We want our eighth graders exposed to algebra, because there's a litany of research on that. We want our ninth graders, as you guys know, at the high school on track to graduate by the end of ninth grade, because mm-hmm. if they're not, then it's a really slippery slope. Yep. So those things aren't going anywhere. So we're going to continue to push toward those things. So for me, it's how do we do things in a systematic and strategic way to support teachers to help mm-hmm. to help get there? What is like awesome and also different about our district? If you're listening to this, no different. We don't have layers of bureaucracy and red tape. Mm-hmm. And so there's no curriculum director coming in to save the day. There's no, right? Like it's us, right? Like there's, you know, I am the only certified person in district office. There's only one building with an assistant principal. Like there's not this layer of administration that's going to come in and do the work. So the way that we get better is by growing our teachers. That's mm-hmm. That's our only route forward. And so it's about how can we do that strategically?
You know, we talk a lot about helping teachers grow, and I'm 100% behind that. I have another question though that I think I would like you to talk on is how do we get our students? I don't know if we've done a lot in relationship to getting our students to grow in the classroom based on attitude, performance. So what can we be doing for our students? And I don't even know if you've thought about this. What can we be doing for our students to help them stay on task to graduate? Not what teachers doing, but what can we do to empower our students?
Well, I think it's the same answer. Improved teacher performance leads to improved student performance. We're not going to, if we are expecting our students to fundamentally shift in terms of who they are and the invisible backpacks that they carry and those mm-hmm. things, like that's just not going to occur. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand, and quite frankly, we have a really favorable set of circumstances that our kids are exposed to compared to many, 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 many districts. So, mm-hmm. So for me, that's quite literally what, when we are talking about improving teachers, that's what we're trying to do, is figure out how we can best serve and understand kids. In terms of programmatic and systematic things that we mm-hmm. do, obviously we started Leader in Me, I think it was about 6 years ago now is when we first started the infancy of that. And so that will trickle its way up. And obviously mm-hmm. we believe in that as a character education program to mm-hmm. teach kids requisite skills to be successful. And that'll start to launch in the junior high now as it's followed kids up mm-hmm. through the ranks. So in eventuality that will come there. But for me, I'm just of the mindset that we never, ever, ever blame students.
Oh no.
And so it's a matter of, when it's what are we going to do for students, it's always about we're going to help teachers get better so that they can better mm-hmm. serve the mm-hmm. kids. Now, do we have some kids with significant challenges that need significant support? 100%. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're at. Now, I also believe that we are just about, if not at 100% graduation rate for our seniors this year,
cool.
Which if you look around, 100% graduation rate is exceptionally rare.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Particularly in light of the pandemic. So mm-hmm. When we're talking about what are we going to do, I want to also say, well, look at what the heck we just did, because mm-hmm. we pulled off a near miracle if we're getting 99 to 100% of our kids across stage in 2021.
Yeah, I agree, because my nieces are both graduating from Genoa and Glenbrook South the next couple weeks, and they are close to that too. And Glenbrook South, if you've ever been to Glenview, is a very large district and a lot of kids. And I think her graduating class is like around 1,800. And the fact that they got to the 1,800 mark when they yep. have at least a little over that mark does give compliance, and not to mention amazing that the fact that yep. many students graduated considered the past year.
So where does that leave us?
So I think what it leaves us at is for the summer, my hope is that the teachers recharge. I've said a lot of times that relaxation is very different than recharging. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're bad as humans at recharging, because we're very good at relaxing. We're bad at yes. recharging. Recharging typically revolves around five things, and that's sleep, exercise, drinking water, efficacy, which means are we having positive self-talk and do we believe in ourselves, mm-hmm. and social connectedness. Are we actually bonding with the people that we love the most, which means are we putting down our phone and connecting with the people around the dinner table with us? And so those are the things that typically recharge us from a neuroscientific lens, much more than, you know, closing down the bar or, you know, laying by the pool. Now, is that stuff all necessary too? Yeah, that's part of being a well-rounded human being. It's just a matter of when you do that all of June, all of July, and the first 2 weeks of August, and you're still tired when you come back, this is a student-oriented problem too, for sure, right? Like mm-hmm. when they come back, they're exhausted as opposed to recharged.
Yep.
So for us, I just hope that we recharge. As we start to attack next year, it's, again, our stated goals are the same. We're going to try to do what we did this year better with hopefully less restrictions, right? Like a lot of mass news came out today. So how's that going to trickle down to schools? I don't know. But maybe we're not in mass next year. Maybe we're not social distance. Maybe we can do things as normal. We are going to hopefully be in 100% in-person learning environment, which should take an enormous weight off of many teachers. So For me, next year's large about let's get back to homeostasis. Let's get to where we're nice and level. And if anything, we'll put in additional supports to help teachers along the way. And then let's start dreaming big, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're finally stable. We finally have a deep understanding of where we're going to be in a handful of years. So this is the time for us to think about, like, the vision of our district is small town values, but world-class mm-hmm. results.
Yeah.
So what are we doing to truly push ourselves to excellence and truly be elite? What can we do? And that's going to, one of my favorite leadership books of all time is called Leadership on the Line by Heifetz and Linsky out of Harvard. And they talk about there's two types of leadership. There's technical leadership and adaptive leadership. And technical leadership is necessary, but that's where you're in an environment and there's the next most logical problem to solve. And you just go and you solve the next most logical problem. And then when you solve that one, there's another next most logical problem. And so the way that I refer to that is, like, when I came into the district, there were some big old fires. Once I put out that big fire, then there was a completely different fire on the other side of the room that I didn't see until that fire was put out. And then I went and put out that fire, and then I went and put out that fire. That's technical leadership. What we are now in a position to do is have adaptive leadership, which is new thinking to solve problems that don't yet exist. So when we're talking about being world-class, how can we think differently about where we're at right now to position ourselves that does something that no other small school district in the state of Illinois does? Because why not us? I believe in the expertise and the collective brilliance of our staff and our administration that we should be able to do some pretty amazing things. And so it's just about figuring out that path forward and continuing to dream big. So if I'm talking directly to the teachers right now, I'd say those are the two things that I would hope you do over the summer. Is one is recharge, mm-hmm. and hopefully a way that's not just about relaxing, but also about recharging. And two, start to dream really, really big, because we can. And that should be like the most liberating feeling in the world, because I feel like we haven't been able to really do that in my 8 years in the district. And so let's take off, you know, whatever has been binding us or restricting our thoughts, and think about why can't we do this or could we do that? And I think we have an opportunity to do something really, really cool here over the next handful of years. Yeah.
Well, that was Mr. PJ Posey. And, you know, unfortunately, we had a little bit more that didn't get recorded that we had discussed with PJ.
Yes.
We really apologize. It was kind of funny toward the end about things that we were talking about. So
yes, including a picture of PJ from the early years there.
Yeah, we were talking about how he hadn't aged much since he had come here, that he's still looking good. And then he showed us a picture of him in his earlier days. And so Ryan and I retracted our statement.
also, I might've said something maybe about a couple of departments here. So I guess I'm saved from that now.
Yeah, really. Anyways, always positive. But anyways, now PJ has done a great job here. And I think, you know, it's hard to believe he's been here that long. And he's done an outstanding job. He's gone through a lot of hardships that a lot of superintendents don't go through.
No, I agree.
When you look at the two referendums, he came in a deficit. He had to lay off people. You know, he had to take it on the chin, you know, and I think that he did a great job with that. Even, you know, a lot of people were upset and unhappy, and I think he's turned the district around. And I don't know about your experience, Ryan, but I think he's been a very positive influence for our district, and I think he's been very positive toward us teachers, and I think that's been great.
Yeah, and I agree too, because when I came in here 4 years ago too, I mean, he took a chance on a teacher who luckily he had learned more through not only background and my previous principal, but also through social media, since we had followed each other. So he definitely knew what my work was, but he didn't know what that would look like when it transferred to the classroom. So I know he gave a lot of patience. I mean, he talked about you know, how far we've come to get to more current standards with technology, curriculum, everything. And you know, that was my classroom where I had a lot of technology issues, and it was a struggle myself for at least those first 2 years.
And, you know, you think about with the start of this pandemic, when we ended up last spring, there was an awful lot to get done. And I know that he had a lot of help with a lot of from very efficient people to get, and that would be our tech departments, our principals, assistant principals, our leadership teams. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of people that did an awful lot of hard work to get us one-on-one for students. To get the classrooms updated, get the tools that teachers needed. There was a lot of work done with that and a lot of funding that was going on for all that. So I think the teachers did a super job, but I think also too, it was because we had super support that started at the top.
Yes, and I agree. And as I was thinking too, people, not just that, but the, you know, the aides, you know, Michelle here and Kelly at night school, the building supervisor and everything. And as I said, I felt like this was a year I could say goodbye to the students here. I, you know, as of today, they were doing their rehearsal before we recorded this. And it was a good time to actually say goodbye to everybody. We saw the conclusions. Like I said, the mural was finished. It, as PJ had said too, it was a great graduation rate, but at the same time, it felt like there was an actual conclusion this year.
Well, yeah. And too, you know, like today, you know, when Chad got the, Chad Garrett got the Emily Fleming Award this year, we actually could take a picture.
Yes, exactly.
With him, you know, where in the last year there was, you know, a possibility.
No.
So I think it was great to see our seniors graduate. It was great to see them going on to their future. Sad to see them go. This was a wonderful class.
Yeah. Like I said, these were my babies because they started when I did, and I luckily got to actually say goodbye to all of them too. Because last year I only got a handful, thanks to like I said, Dylan Showers' graduation party. Otherwise, I didn't get to say goodbye properly to my seniors last year. This year that was possible.
Last year was weird. I was sending out cards and little certificates and everything to my seniors because there was no goodbyes. It was just everything ended so abruptly. So, but anyways, I think PJ's done a great job. I think our principals and assistant principals and all the teams have really stepped it up to help our lives as teachers easier and more beneficial. It's not without its pain and without its strife, as PJ talked about. But I think they did an awesome job for us teachers, and I think that should be recognized.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. So thank you all for everyone who has done it here for this school year and everything. Like I said, from administration all the way down to custodial and cleaning to the bus drivers
to the people that just, you know, even smiling, especially to our nurses staff too. They had a lot of, they had a lot themselves to work with through and everything, and in our office staff. So it's been, it's been a year, and I have to say that that is definitely gives us a good way to then now look forward to what can we dream again, as PJ says, and start looking forward again.
Yeah. And it's amazing too, because I think now we're more, much more aware of all the people involved in this whole process.
Yes.
So they've done a great job. So anyways, I want to say hats off to Mr. Capozzi and Mrs. Showers and all of our principals out there who have really gone to bat for us. So
yes,
I appreciate it very much.
So thank you everyone for joining us on the Meridian 223 Teacher Podcast, and we will talk to everybody later.
I think our next podcast will be next week with Tammy Pearson and Claire Winters as they depart, as they are retiring.
We're going to need Kleenexes. Thanks again, everybody.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.